Naman dabits, naman dabits, naman dabits, naman dabits, naman dabits, naman dabits. Okay, great. So now we'll get into our 10th Dharma session here, where we're exploring the Shoshinge, which is Shinran Shonin, the founder of our Jodo Shinshu tradition. It's a section of verse that he composed that really encapsulates the meaning of the Jodo Shinshu tradition, the Nembutsu teaching. The official title of Shoshinge is the Shoshin Nembutsu Ge. So Nembutsu is the recitation of Namu Amida Butsu. And so it's really a section of verse that expresses for us the meaning of Namu Amida Butsu, why it is that we recite Namu Amida Butsu, and how we are to understand and appreciate this recitation that we do, that really serves as, in a way, our main practice. Although we think of it not as my practice personally, but the Buddha's practice, but it is what I do in my life as a follower of this Jodo Shinshu Buddhist tradition. So I'm gonna now share my screen here, and everybody see, this is a handout that I prepared. This is also available on the website, the Samitya Buddhist Temple website. You can download this, and this will remain up on the website. So if you'd like to open that up now, you can actually go into the email that you received for today's service, for those of you who are receiving the emails for these, and click on the 7 o'clock, the hyperlink in the 7 o'clock session. That'll take you right to this. It's also there on the website. So if you're watching this on the internet, it's just a little bit below the video page there. And so this contains the verse that we'll be reading and talking about this evening. So we've gone through the Shoshinge, looking at the verses, looking at each verse here. And so, and as we've gone through the Shoshinge, we're kind of also learning about the larger sutra. The Shoshinge is wonderful because it encapsulates and summarizes the meaning of the key Buddhist scriptures that serve as the foundation for Pure Land Buddhism, and particularly for the Jodo Shinshu tradition. The largest chunk of that at the beginning is based on what we call the larger sutra. And so if you've been with us for a few of these sessions, if you go back and review, you'll notice that we're spending a lot of time looking at the larger sutra, because the larger sutra is one of the sermons of the Buddha that describes Amida Buddha, this Buddha of immeasurable light and life. And the larger sutra serves as the foundation or the basis for the Jodo Shinshu teaching. And so reading the Shoshinge is kind of reading first an encapsulation of the key points of the larger sutra, but then also contains sections, you know, it refers to the other Pure Land Sutras as well, and then the teachings of the, we'll call the seven masters, the teachers from India, China, and Japan. And so, you know, if you've become familiar with the content of the Shoshinge, you become familiar with what Pure Land Buddhism is all about and the scriptural lineage of this tradition. So let's get into it and look at this verse. So I'll go ahead and read this verse, and then we'll talk about it with reference to the larger sutra. The Shoshinge is written, "When the thought moment of joy arises, nirvana is attained without severing blind passions. When ignorant and wise, even grave offenders and slanderers of the Dharma, all alike turn and enter Shinjin. They are like waters that on entering the ocean become one in taste with it." Namam. So I want to start by talking about this this first line. It says a thought moment of joy. So we talk about our Buddhist practice again as a nembutsu. Nen means, it can mean one of, it has a few different meanings. One of them is to say or to recite out loud, but it also means to think about, to focus one's mind on, to be mindful of. This is the word for mindfulness in Buddhism. So to be mindful, and then to have this one moment. So it can also refer to a moment. So one thought moment is, you know, that moment of consciousness when one feels deep joy in the Buddha's wisdom and compassion, a sense that the Buddha is there in my life, that I'm supported by the Buddha's teachings, and that I'm not alone in whatever challenges I may be facing, whatever difficulties I may be going through or will face in life. There's no need to feel anxious or worried, because we're with the Buddha. The Buddha is with us. And so we have a deep joy that arises. And so in that moment, it's interesting, Shinran Chunin says, in that moment, nirvana is attained. Nirvana is attained. So we've talked a little bit about nirvana in some previous sessions. I'll just give a little bit of an overview of that. The word nirvana means to blow out, like to blow out a flame. And so there's a sense that our, we call the blind passions of greed, anger, and ignorance, or clinging, aversion, dislike, hatred, and foolishness or delusion, that these blind passions are burning us, you know, day after day we're being burned by them. And so to attain nirvana is to blow them out, to blow out that, to realize a state of lasting peace. And so the interesting thing here is that when the one thought moment of joy arises, nirvana is attained without severing blind passions. So it's kind of paradoxical, because we think of nirvana as being the severing of blind passions, but Shinran is saying that when you have that sense of that moment, that thought moment of joy, that deep moment of entrusting, then that nirvana is attained without severing the blind passion. So the anger, the greed, the ignorance that's still there in me, and yet nirvana is attained. So what does that mean? Shinran goes on to say, when ignorant and wise, even grave offenders and slanderers of the Dharma, all alike turn and enter Shinjin. So Shinjin means entrusting heart. This is a word that the translators of the Shoshinge decided in this case, this translation, the Honganji translation that we use from our school of Buddhism, they chose to leave this word untranslated in the hope that it would continue to become like a new English word, a word that expresses a specific Buddhist meaning. There are different ways it can be translated. Oftentimes it's translated as entrusting heart. That's probably the most kind of literal translation, or entrusting mind. It can also be translated, some translated as awareness, even awakening. Older translations would translate it as faith. If you just look this word up in a Japanese dictionary, Japanese English dictionary probably will say faith. Faith is an interesting word, because as Buddhists, you know, we don't believe in God. And so it's not faith in God. It's not faith in a higher being that is somehow has omnipotent control over our lives. Our lives are determined by the flow of cause and effect. So what does it mean to have faith in this context, right? So for that reason, some have said, let's not even use this word faith, because it's confusing. And when people hear faith, in in America today, in English-speaking countries, they think of it as, you know, faith in a God. You know, faith from, for example, the Christian religion talks about faith. And so people say, well, we're talking about something different. So let's use our own word to talk about our own experience, Shinjin. And so that is that thought moment of joy is Shinjin. And we can kind of get into that more in the discussion and questions if people are curious about that term. It keeps coming up. And I think the first session, if you go back to the first session, we talk a little bit about that because it's right there in the title of Sho Shinge, the hymn of true and trusting. Yeah. And then so when people who are filled with greed, anger, and ignorance, they have a turn of heart and enter Shinjin. Shinran says they are like waters that on entering the ocean become one in taste with it. So if you think about, you know, if you have a bottle of your tap water, or even, you know, water from a mud puddle outside your house. And, you know, even if it's really, you know, murky and dirty, and it looks like there might even be some motor oil or something floating in it, and you were to, you know, take that out to Pacifica and dump it into the Pacific Ocean, right? It would not be long before that water, while still part of the ocean, becomes totally indistinguishable from the ocean, right? Even if you had a bottle of, you know, pure Hetchy Hetchy reservoir tap water, you know, doesn't have any, you know, noticeable flavor at all. You take a drink of that, it's no real flavor. And then you take a drink of ocean water. It's ocean water, salty, right? But if you pour that Hetchy Hetchy water into the ocean and then scoop it back up to take a drink, it's salty, right? It becomes one in taste. And so that's the transformation that occurs when we have this moment of awakening to the Buddha's compassion, this thought moment of joy, where ourselves, which for me, I can't speak for all of you. I mean, you may be that pure Hetchy Hetchy tap water. For me, I'm more like the mud puddle water from outside of my house, you know, filled with, you know, greed, anger, ignorance, all day long, me, me, me. But entering into the ocean of the Buddha's compassion, then becoming one in taste with it, right? And so Shinran Shonin, he says that in that way, nirvana is attained without severing the blind passions. I am, you know, myself, but in that moment of entrusting, I'm assured of realizing enlightenment. My nirvana is assured. I'm not enlightened yet, but I know that I will be enlightened. And I know it may not be long from now, but at the end of this life, when I'm liberated from this world, entering into the world of the Buddha's enlightenment, then nirvana will be attained, right? And so I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, carry on down this handout that I've prepared, and to look at the sutra. So there's all different kinds of ways that a person could go through and examine the Sho Shinge. I think for me, and I think for us now as Americans, English speakers, I find that it's really helpful to look at Sho Shinge by illuminating and looking at the connections with the sutras and the other texts. So that's sort of my approach to Sho Shinge in the sessions. You've noticed is I'm pointing us going deeper into the texts upon which Sho Shinge is based. And so we'll be doing that again today, looking at the larger sutra. We've been talking about this for months now. So this is our 10th session. This is the 10th month. So we're coming up on 1 year of doing this Shoshinge journey. And we've mainly been in the first part of the larger sutra. It's a two-part scripture. And so now we're entering into, with this verse, we enter into part two, the second part of the larger sutra, which talks a lot about the fulfillment of the Buddha's vow, the world of enlightenment into which we enter and the benefits we receive. And so I've talked in previous sessions about the 18th vow, the primal vow, the Hongan of the Honganji, that's the name of our head temple, is called the temple of the primal vow. And so this is the fulfillment of the primal vow. So there's a section where the Buddha makes a promise, and we talked about that in previous sessions, where the Buddha promises that if when I attain enlightenment, that the beings who hear my name, wish to be born in my pure land, long to that birth, and then with a sincere and trusting heart of joy and recite that my name even 10 times, that they will be born in that land. Should this not be the case, may I not attain the perfect enlightenment? Excluded are those, you know, the slanderers, the slanderers of the Dharma, and the those who commit the five grave offenses. And so this section is the fulfillment of that, where the Buddha says, okay, Amida Buddha has attained enlightenment. And so this is what happens. It says, when sentient beings, upon hearing the Buddha's name, realize an entrusting heart in joy, with even a single thought of the Buddha, direct their merits with sincere mind and aspire to be born in that land, they all attain birth in that land and dwell in the stage of non-retrogression. That means no sliding back. No sliding back, that you're settled. You're not going to fall back into the world of suffering and delusion. And then here, excluded are those who commit the five grave offenses and those who slander the right Dharma. And so let's go down a little bit. Because it doesn't come up when I do it this way. I have to switch view here. Okay. There you go. To get the footnote, I wanted to look at a footnote here. I apologize that it's a little small on the screen, but I'll read this footnote note here. So this is Shinran's reading. So these texts are written in Chinese, and the beautiful thing about Chinese is that you can write a sentence, and it can be interpreted in many different ways. There are many different layers of meaning. And a beautiful sentence in Chinese is one that is rich in meaning in the sense that it can be appreciated from many different aspects. It's kind of different from Western languages and English in that sense, where a good English sentence we often think of is one that's very precise, can only really be understood in one way. A beautiful sentence in classical Chinese can be appreciated on many different levels. And so the translation above is a kind of how that sentence would typically, that those words would typically be read kind of in a sort of mainstream way. And then Shinran has his own specific way of appreciating that meaning. So Shinran says, all sentient beings, as they hear the name, realize even one thought moment of Shinjin, entrusting heart and joy, which is directed to them from Amida's sincere mind and aspiring to be born in that land. They then attain birth and dwell in the stage of non-retrogression. Excluded are those who commit the five grave offenses and those who slander the right Dharma. Okay. So Shinran's way of appreciating this is that the mind comes from the Buddha. The Buddha gives us this mind of entrusting. So it's not something I go out and I grasp and I get it for myself. I strive for it and then I got it. But it's something that the Buddha freely gives to me. So I receive it. And then with that joy, it's the joy of gratitude not the joy of I did it, I accomplished my goal. Rather, it's the joy of I've received something really precious. Okay. So that's this sense of, and so for those who receive that moment of joy, then they're assured birth in the pure land of Amida Buddha, the world of enlightenment. So let's look at some of these other sections here. And so it says, it's interesting. Shinran says, even grave offenders and slanderers of the Dharma. So when we read this passage on the primal vow, there's this exclusion where it says, it would seem to say that everyone is included, but then there's this sort of thing that's included at the end, which says, except those who commit the five grave offenses and those who slander the Dharma. So the five grave offenses are to kill one's father, to kill one's mother, to kill an enlightened disciple of the Buddha called an arhat, to cause blood to flow from the body of the Buddha. So if you were to, hit the Buddha with a stick and he started bleeding, that's a grave offense. And the Buddha had a cousin named Devadatta who on several occasions injured the Buddha through various kinds of attacks. And then to sow disharmony in the Sangha. So the community of Buddhists to cause a disruption and a kind of a break to create a disharmony in the community. So these five things are very, very, very bad karma, we could say. And the interpretation of this, and this is not just Shinran, but a former previous teachers like Shandao and others say that this is intended as a kind of a warning to tell, to discourage people from doing these terrible things. But if you have already done it, then you are still embraced. So if I have, I caused a big schism and I caused the San Mateo Buddhist temple to break into three little subgroups or something like that, then I've caused a schism in the Sangha, I've committed a grave offense. But then I realize I awaken this heart of entrusting, and a part of that is we might call repentance or a self-awareness of one's own harmful nature. And I say, oh my goodness, that was so terrible what I did. I now realize the error of what I was doing, and I am so grateful that the Buddha embraces even a person like me. So in that moment of entrusting, I still, I'm still have those tendencies, but I have then, we'd say, attained nirvana in the sense that my attainment is settled. And so even though I've done these things in the past, I'm not going to go out and do them again in the future, right? So it's a sense of don't do these things, but if you have already done that, and then you hear the teachings, then wow, that person is embraced. Again, entering into that ocean of the Buddha's vow, becoming one in taste with it. Right? And we can talk about that more later. So let's look at these some of these other passages, and these other two. Talk about this singleness of mind and this moment of joy. These are also from that section, the second part of the larger sutra. So I'll read this next these next two paragraphs here. The Buddha said to Ananda, those of the lowest level of devas and those of the lowest level are devas and humans of the worlds throughout the 10 quarters who with sincere mind desire to be born in that land being Amida Buddha's pure land. Even though they may not be able to do various virtuous acts, they awaken the mind aspiring for supreme enlightenment, Think on the Buddha of immeasurable life wholeheartedly and with singleness of mind even 10 times and aspire to be born in that land. When they hear the profound Dharma, they rejoice and entrust themselves to it without giving rise to any doubt. And thinking of the Buddha even once with sincere mind, they aspire to be born in that land. When these people are about to die, seeing the Buddha as in a dream, also attain birth. They, seeing the Buddha as in a dream, also attain birth. So this is talking about, this is a section where the sutra describes three levels of beings who attain birth in the Pure Land. The first level being really fantastic people, like monks and nuns, people who enter into this kind of really pure Buddhist life. The second level are people who are very, very good, virtuous people. And then this lowest level are people who are unable to do virtuous acts, which is to say they're not particularly good people. And yet it is through this entrusting that and hearing the Dharma within the Buddhist teachings with an open mind and receiving that joyfully, then they are able to attain birth. And that's that is the attainment of nirvana. Okay. And then in conclusion of this section, let's look at this last paragraph here. The Buddha said to Maitreya, if there are persons having heard the name of the Buddha, leap and dance with joy and are mindful of the Buddha even once, know that they receive the great benefit, that is, they acquire the unexcelled virtues. And so it's this one thought moment that in that single moment of transformation, one's whole life is transformed. And so sometimes people think of Pure Land Buddhism as a teaching that's focused on an afterlife. That, you know, it's like you're just sort of praying for a good afterlife. And, you know, that couldn't be further than the truth when it comes to this, you know, this teaching or Shinran Shonin's teaching. The emphasis is on this very moment right now to attain that entrusting heart. And in doing so, then right now, one's attainment of nirvana is settled. And the direction of one's life is then kind of set at that moment. And we find that people who do attain this moment of this thought moment, this deep entrusting, that their way of living changes. But having attained that moment, you know, you could die the next instant getting, you know, trying crossing the street, get hit by a car, and your birth in the Pure Land is settled according to this teaching, this wisdom that Shinran Shonin receives from the larger sutra. And so we never know when our time to cross over to the other shore to conclude our time in this life is. And so there's a real urgency in this moment to settle this matter. If you're not completely settled, then direct your attention to that matter. That's the matter of the utmost importance. And so it is this one thought moment of joy. This is this moment right now. And in that we receive this great peace of mind. And so let's go back up and then sort of having some of this background in our mind. Once again, we'll read through this verse, and then I'll switch off the recording and we have some time for our discussion and conversation. When the thought moment of joy arises, nirvana is attained without severing blind passions. When ignorant and wise, even grave offenders and slanderers of the Dharma, all alike turn and enter Shinjin. They are like waters that, on entering the ocean, become one in taste with it. Nam mam dam tsa, nam mam dam tsa, nam mam dam tsa.